All right. Shannon.
Yes, ma'am.
You guys want a door prize?
I don't think you guys really
You
want
don't
a door
get a door prize.
Prize
unless you quiet down.
All right. So remember, you got to be here to win. And we are going to start out with some more of these wonderful things that Dan Lavelle has made. This is a compact that he made, like, you know, for makeup. and plus a $10 in cash and a raffle ticket for the drawing they're going to do at GDUWS tonight at the banquet. So our lucky winner for that is going to be Michael McKillop. Are you in the room?
Obviously not.
Obviously not. Okay. Oh, hey, how about Haley Edick? You've got to be in the room, right?
Haley's here. Yay! Okay. Can we come to order, please? We want to get started. And the first thing I would like to start with is our in memoriams for this past year. So I would ask for quiet, please. Thank you. I will read off the list, and then I will ask that we enter a moment of silence to remember these wonderful WCB members. Bud Adams, Yakima Valley Council of the Blind. Diane Allen, United Blind of Tri-Cities. Sue Amater, Jefferson County Council of the Blind. Beverly Bray, United Blind of Tri-Cities. Bill Carter, Skagit Island Council of the Blind. Evelyn Kraus, United Blind of Tri-Cities. Ernie Jones, United Blind of Walla Walla. Marlena Lieberg, Guide Dog Users of Washington State and South King Council of the Blind. Elwood Mabley, United Blind of Walla Walla. Sarah Starr, South Kitsap County, Council of the Blind. And Myra Wood, United Blind of Tri-Cities. Join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. It's been a tough year for WCB, and boy, Tri-Cities, man, they, you guys were losing all kinds of members. Not a good thing. Yes.
Somehow, Betty Whitaker from United Blind of Whatcom County didn't get on the list, and I sent her in. I just wanted people to know that she passed.
Thank you. Thank you, Holly. All right. Are we ready to begin elections? Yes. Okay, while they're getting the last of the ballots handed out, Burl, would you please once again give us the slate of officers and directors coming out of nominating? And can you get a mic to Burl, please?
Uh, Okay, the 2018 nominating committee, which was Deborah Clark, Deb Lewis, and myself, is putting forth the following slate. For the office, I get so choked up with this. For the office of second vice president, Jeff Bishop. For the office of secretary, Frank Cuta. For the three board positions that will be up for the elections today, we're submitting the names of Reginald George, Julie Brannon, and Heather Muirs.
He'll get her name right one of these days.
Huh? You're looking, that's okay, look Heather, in the mirrors.
He gets everybody's name wrong, so that's okay. All right. We will take the offices one and, oh, thank you, first of all, nominating committee for all your hard work. We have, this is interesting year because when, the nominating committee went to do their work, they really had to work because we had several people wanting to run for offices, which was awesome. And a couple more have stepped in to want to run for office since we've been here. So this has been a great year. These elections, I think, are going to be great. I want to remind you that I will take the offices one at a time. I will, again, say who the nominating committee is putting out for nomination, and then I will request nominations from the floor. Those of you wishing to run for that particular office at that point need to have someone nominate you from the floor. And then as soon as we've gone through who all the the candidates are for that particular position, then we'll actually do our speeches. And remember, please don't ask somebody to speak for you just off the cuff that you haven't talked to. All right, so we are going to begin with the office of second vice president. The nominating committee has placed into nomination the name of Jeff Bishop. Are there any nominations from the floor? Lori Allison's name has been placed into nomination. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Mika White's name has been put into nomination. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Danielle Marr's name has been placed in the nomination. Are there any other nominations from the floor? For a second time, are there any other nominations from the floor? And third and final time, are there any other nominations from the floor? Hearing none, do we have a motion to close nominations? It's been moved, seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So what I'm going to do is take them in the order. Eliza Lynn. White. Okay. So we will take them in the order that they were nominated. So Jeff, who will be your speakers?
Madam President, Deb Lewis and myself.
All right, so Deb Lewis will be your primary speaker, and you will give your seconding, you will speak for on behalf of yourself as your seconding. You will have 3 minutes total. Deb's going to multitask up here. So let her know when you...
I'm going to start now. Thank you. I'm talking this morning about Jeff Bishop, who is running for first vice president of WCB. Second vice president. I'm sorry. I screwed it up already. And Jeff is one of the things that was really great. We got to hear from Jeff this morning. We got to hear how articulate he is and how knowledgeable he is about so many things. Jeff has a passion for ACB. He has served on the ACB board. He has served as the president of the Arizona Council of the Blind, which only stopped by moving here. And so, you know, he can't do it from here. So anyway, Jeff is also on the board of directors of ACB. He is the chairperson of the ACB radio management. He has been actively involved in so many things. Jeff's passion is about communication and about use of technology in our organization. Jeff has also a commitment about bringing in younger members. We need to think seriously about people who are prepared to be our future president. And that is something that will be coming up again, we know. And Jeff has that experience and that knowledge, and we need to bring his experience and knowledge into this organization now. And I would encourage you to vote for Jeff Bishop for second vice president.
All right. How much time does Jeff have?
Two minutes, 36 seconds.
1 minute, 36 seconds. Numbers is not my thing, guys.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I want to speak today a little bit about why I really feel passionate about running for this office. First of all, I greatly admire the leadership that has existed within this organization, as well as the leaders that we lost this past year, specifically Marlena and Sue. I really have a passion for really wanting to make a difference through the use of people and technology and communication throughout our organization, as well as the youth. We're all getting older, and it's really important that we continue to reach out and foster new people to bring energy to our organization. I've worked really hard with an ACB to help bring money into the organization at the national level, so I have knowledge of bringing that to this organization as well. I am the developer of ACB Link, the application that many of you have been using on your iOS platform as well as Android. And in addition to that, I think I bring an energy to the office that I hope we'll be able to assist and shape the leadership of our organization in the future. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jeff. Lori, who will your speakers be?
Carol Brame and Cindy Van Winkle.
So make sure Carol has the mic. And you
tell her when to start.
Okay. Okay, go, Carol.
I had to clear my throat. Hold on.
Okay. So Lori is with DSB and has been teaching Braille to both hard and soft-skilled blind people, and getting stuff for them to remain independent. She's also the first award winner of the Tacoma City Volunteers of the Year. She works for Pierce County as on the commission in Tacoma for the disabilities. And she has put in or done up a I don't want to take up any more time. I'm going to let Lori, but anyway, e-bikes and scooters, and she helped do the proposal, and it's under review for the Commissions of Disabilities. So, Cindy, go.
Okay. And Cindy has not much time.
It's okay. I'll just jump right in. I urge you to consider voting for Lori Allison. Lori, I met when she was an OTC student back in 2006, and I presented about the convention. I met her and I said, you're going to join this organization. And sure enough, she came to convention and she joined Pierce County Association of the Blind soon after becoming its president. Under her leadership, she wasn't afraid to step in and help make changes happen. At the time, they were meeting on a Sunday at an old folks living facility. They now meet at Tacit on a Saturday, which has allowed their chapter to grow and thrive. Lori is a worker. She's not afraid to do behind-the-scenes type of activities. She has been managing our database for the last year for membership and is doing a stellar job. She has served on several committees, including convention for many years, and she oversees registration, which in and of itself is a huge task. She helped with a Braille challenge in her own chapter and then helped bridge the state organization to be able to hold a Braille challenge as part of the Families with Blind Children Committee, which she chaired for a few years and I believe still serves on. She has served on the membership committee and several other committees over the years, and in her role on the membership committee, helped us network with the Puyallup Fair to have a booth for free over the past probably 6 or 7 years. Lori is a doer. She's a worker bee. She's passionate about this organization. She's put in lots of time to get to the place where she would like to run for second vice president. Oh, did I mention she's served several years as a director for WCB as well. No one can ever say that she gets any dust around her. Vote for Lori Allison.
Thank you. Yeah, that's probably better. Yeah. You can go. All right. Mika, who will your speakers be? Just Kevin? You're going to let Kevin talk for 3 minutes?
Oh, and he'll do it, too.
I know.
I love you, too.
I know. Can't you just feel the love in this organization?
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of Mika White. Leadership. It's all she's ever known. It's all she's ever done. And as a WCB member, if someone asked me, what are some of the things we need the most? Continued great leadership. Mika would represent continued great leadership. She joined our chapter a few years ago, and she stepped up on the very first day of being a chapter member. Hey, what can I do? What leadership roles might I be suited for at the South King Council? Mika exudes kindness. Taking good care of our members, people she works with, is what she always has done. Having someone at that level for WCB who's taking great care of all of us seems to be a smart way to help us grow membership. She's always tenacious in her desire to advocate for the blind. She doesn't stop. I would ask that you consider voting for Mika White. Thank you.
Good job. Danielle, who will your speakers be? And who? Oh, Debbie Phillips. All right. So, Julie, let us know when you're ready.
All right. Danielle and I go a long way back. Shall I say that we met each other when we were six? We grew up, together. I know her very well. We were very close growing up. Danielle has a brilliant mind. And not only academically brilliant, but musically brilliant. She's been with this organization even during in the transition time when the old NFB joined WCB. She's been with us a long time. She's desired very much to be a part of the state officership. And as you've known, has tried many times to get on, and she's willing and very interested in looking at second vice president at this time. She's been a president of her local chapter, and during that time, a lot of growth happened and advocacy happened. She's volunteered at Lilac. I think she was teaching both technology and Braille. I know her past career. She worked as a low vision specialist in Virginia. I recommend that you vote for Danielle for this position. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. How much time does Debbie have?
2 minutes.
Debbie, can you wave?
Okay.
And you, would you? You have 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. Danielle asked me to speak for her this morning, and I know that Danielle cares very much for the organization. She is a fighter. She has survived a lot, been through a lot of tough things. And I believe that everybody has a right to run for office. And because of Danielle's care and her concern about the organization, I do ask that you would consider a vote for Danielle. Thank you.
Thank you. What is wrong with that thing? Oh, that's horrible. All right. So you've heard all the speeches. You have an envelope with individual pieces of paper. You take one of those out. You take your nail. You're going to push the nail all the way through till it gets to the head of the nail. And I'll tell you in just a second how many punches for which person. I want to say something, and I'm going to say it now because I think it's really important. When you are considering, we have good candidates, but I really want to ask you as a membership to seriously think about what you've heard and what you've heard in terms of qualifications. The people who serve as officers and directors on this board need to be people who can do the tough job when it needs to be done, who can ask the tough questions when they need to be asked, who are able to make, you know, consider points and make decisions that need to be made. Voting is not a popularity contest, and voting is not a vote for somebody because it's a sympathy vote. So I just want to preface all of this afternoon by saying, please, as we go through and consider candidates, think about those things. All right. If you are voting for Jeff Bishop, you will make one punch. If you are voting for Lori Allison, you will make two punches, and try to spread them out just a little bit. Don't do them right on top of each other, because then the poor counters won't be able to figure out what you're doing. So Bishop, one punch. Allison, two punches. Mika White, three punches. Danielle Marr, four punches. Or Danielle Jack. Marr Jack. Sorry, Greg. So any questions? Pass them to the center aisle, to the, and then they will pick them up. All right. Nope. That doesn't give you reason to talk. You can do this quietly. All right. While you're voting and the ballots are being collected and the votes are being counted, we're going to do some constitutional amendments. Good idea. So, Mr. Chair. Yes. Okay. We'll hop to her just a second.
Yeah, right. Speaking of Corey, we talked about it.
Okay, are the ballots all collected? Anybody still have a ballot? All right. Mr. Cuda, you're on.
All right, coming out of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, we have bylaw or amendment, proposed amendment. What year is this? 18, oh, the first one. This is our 2018-1, and this is amending Article 4. Lisa?
Frank asked me to read the summary for Amendment 2018-1. These changes include requiring new affiliates to... Okay. These changes include requiring new affiliates to have an existing bank account. The data requirements for chapter submissions are updated, and the due dates for data updates and dues are now staggered in time to accommodate having WCB calculate the total dues for each affiliate prior to payment. And it's Article 4 is the bylaw or the Constitution section.
He needs a mic.
Where are we at?
Wait.
I think you gotta turn this one on.
So this one's actually an article.
You have a question before the motion?
Just a point of order. This one's actually this is actually an article, not a bylaw, correct? So we need a two-thirds if we...
Oh, he's just wondering...
Okay, point of order.
Yeah,
okay.
Point of order.
That's correct. Two-thirds.
Yes. This is an amendment, so it will require a two-thirds vote to pass.
Okay, Denise.
So, do we have a motion on the floor? Second.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, do you have a recommendation from the committee?
Yes, the committee recommends to do pass.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
That constitutes a motion.
What'd you say, Terry?
That constitutes a motion. He said the do pass is essentially a motion.
All right. So, is there any discussion on the motion to pass this amendment? Yes, get Danielle Mike. Holly, oh God. Sorry. Yeah, you guys, we really can't hear up here, so.
Yeah, the sound is excellent. Everyone in the room
could
up here.
Could you explain to me in words of one syllable or less what this means about calculating the dues, blah, blah, what you just said. So we can't send it in when we want to?
Okay, I will explain. First of all, it says that you have to have, and some people are going to think this is really weird, but there was a reason for it. You have to have a treasurer, a bank account, because we can't be paying you anything if you don't have a bank account for your chapter. It also says that the date for submitting your membership lists this next year has been moved back to February 1st. And the reason for that is that you will not submit your dues at the time you submit your membership list. You will submit your list. We will calculate your dues. We will notify you as to the amount that you owe. And your dues then have to be submitted by February 28th or whatever the heck it is. No, it's the end of February. Yeah, and the reason, if you're wondering why, the reason for this is that chapters seem to have difficulty figuring out what they're supposed to send in for dues. It isn't easy because you've got life members you have to think about. You've got new members. You've got people who are ACB life members that you have, you know. So there's several things you have to think about. And so we felt like it would be easier all the way around and less stressful on the chapters if they don't have to figure out how much they owe us. And this is how ACB does it.
Okay, this is Frank. Okay. Sometimes it's a little confusing, the process, so I want to make something clear here. Okay, the motion is on the floor now to pass this amendment, and if someone wishes to make a change in it, the proper thing right now is to do is to make a motion to amend it.
Right.
And now would be the proper time to do that.
There's a motion to amend?
I make a motion to amend the bylaws as written by Frank Kuda just now. Denise, what are you asking for?
Okay.
Oh, no, that's...
Yes.
Is this the amendment, is this the amendment that includes new chapter information?
What do you mean the chapter information?
A new chapter that forms needs to have 5 members?
No.
Is this, okay, thank you.
This is the one, yes it is. And I was waiting for Andy to make the amendment.
Well then
I
would like to propose an amendment. I would like to make an amendment to this, amendment.
You move to amend.
I would like to move to amend. Thank you, Frank. I'd like to move to amend to change the minimum number for a new chapter from 5 to 10.
Second.
And then I'd like to speak in favor of it if I can. Am I out of order or am I good?
That's good.
Okay. You guys, we currently have the language as 5 members being needed. Think about what a corps of officers is. How many people is that? Typically, it's 5 people. So we're asking a chapter to start with the minimum of 5 people, which would be basically all of their officers. We are not setting up a new chapter for success. I encourage us to change that number to 10, and it's okay if a chapter has to work at growing before they actually become a chapter. They can still be a part. They can still be even members at large. But let's help chapters really build strong chapters, not just in name only. And so I urge you to vote yes on this amendment.
This is Frank. I have a point of clarification for the speaker. So if a chapter is actually already a chapter and they drop to 9, do they lose their charter? Okay. That's not an
This
intention.
Is new chapters.
Okay, good.
So...
Is anyone speaking against?
Is anyone speaking against?
It was seconded.
No, it's been seconded. Okay, you guys, I was trying to do something else at the same time. So we're voting on the adding the... to changing the 5 to 10. All right. Yes. Yes. No. I mean, I suppose we could.
Okay,
but
so that doesn't have to be put into writing.
No.
Okay.
That's no, it does not.
Thank you.
So does anybody speaking against the amendment? All right. All in favor of the amendment, this is just increasing the number of members that a new chapter has to have from 5 to 10, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Well, all right, then. Okay, now we have to vote on the amended amendment. Okay, so now we're voting on the constitutional amendment as amended. Does anybody... Well, let's see. Do we... Are we ready to vote, or do people want to speak? All right. All in favor of the amendment, the constitutional amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
You ready for another one?
No. I have the results. All right. We had 102. Oh, let me tell you that what happens here is, because we have four people, that the two people with the least amount of votes get dropped off, and we vote on the top two unless somebody has a majority of the votes. So we had 102 votes voting. Jeff Bishop, 64. Lori Allison, 28. Mika White, 17. Danielle Marr, 4. Congratulations, Jeff. Would you like to say anything?
Sure.
Get Jeff a mic.
He's speechless.
I don't know what to say. No, thank you very, very much, everyone. I'm deeply honored and honestly quite, just deeply, deeply honored. So thank you very much for putting confidence in me, and I won't let you down. Thanks, guys.
Yes. We're going to get a new chapter because he's already committed.
We made it
harder
now, though.
Yeah, we did.
I thought we changed that number to 15.
We're going to possibly get an East King County chapter. All right. So now we are going to move to the... Yeah, you have 10 members. That might be hard. We're going to move to the Office of Secretary. The nominating committee has placed into nomination the name of Frank Cuta. Are there any nominations from the floor? Second time, are there any nominations from the floor? And last time, are there any nominations from the floor? Yes. Okay, it's been moved that we cast the unanimous ballot for Frank Cuta. Is there a second?
Yay!
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Frank.
So you want a speech? Thank you.
All right. Congratulations, Frank. All right. Now we are going to move to our first board position. The nominating committee has placed into nomination the name of Reginald George. Are there any nominations from the floor?
I nominate Danette.
All right. Danette Dixon. Oops. Jenny. All right. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Yes. For a second time, are there any other nominations from the floor? And one third and final time, are there any other nominations from the floor? Sarah. Okay, is there a second? All right. I don't think we have to vote. Okay, Reg, who will be your speakers? All right, so Carl Jarvis, well, you're assuming you're going to get any time to speak, you know? Because Carl is so eloquent. All right, Carl, let us know when you're ready.
I am going to change my life ways and be brief.
Oh.
And I'm ready.
No, that's no fun. All right, go ahead.
Reg has so much to say. I want to, did you hear that noise?
Yeah.
That was the sound of Reginald Smith, Reginald George rolling up his sleeves, eager to serve his time, his energy for WCB. And in these troubled times, we need people with new energy, new ideas, new enthusiasm, and Reg George is just that person. So I urge you to join with me and vote for Reg George. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, that was pretty good. All right. How much time does Reggie have?
2 minutes and 22 seconds.
That was your wife who said that. All right, Reg, you've got 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Go.
Okay. I'm in all this talk about our financial situation and with all the good people we've lost in the last year, I'm concerned about the organization losing its identity. I think to understand the priorities of an organization, we're told that everything is important, and but you have to follow the money. And I'm not seeing a lot, and I'm not saying to vote against the budget. It's a good budget, but I'm not seeing a lot in there directed at our state legislature or directed at leadership training for new people coming in. And they say that that will be handled in other ways. But as I said, follow the money, because that's what people on the outside are looking at. We've been turned inward to look at our processes in the last couple of years, and we needed to. It's a dangerous time, and I would have to argue that it's critical that we remember our mission and our core values. And I'll give you a hint. It's not conventions. So members, my responsibilities are to bring ideas forward and to communicate the priorities of the board back to my chapter and accept any kind of feedback, positive or negative, and to work as hard as I can to improve the organization so we could be focused on the things that matter. As the independent living agencies continue to shrink, some of them across the state are in danger of closing their doors forever. We need to support our future leaders by doing a better job of communicating with the membership and recruiting new members that
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reggie. Danette, who will be your speakers? All right, Kim Moberg and Andy Arvidson. Kim, do you have a mic?
Where's Andy?
All right. If you want somebody who gets a job done, you want Danette Dixon. Danette is a hard worker. She has been involved in WCB for many years. She is involved with Guide Dog Users of Washington State. She has been a board member in the past. I got to know Danette especially well this year on the scholarship committee. She was awesome to work with. She always met the deadlines. If I knew that if I gave her a job, it was going to get done, and it was going to get done well. So if you want Danette, if you want somebody who's going to get things done for WCB, you want Danette Dixon.
Thank you. Andy, how much time does Andy have?
2 minutes, 8 seconds.
Go, Andy.
Danette, I've known for a long time. She is also involved in Guide Dogs International a little bit. She's on the secretary on PAWS. She's the chair of the, or president of Guide Dog Users Alumni. She is like an ant in an anthill. She's constantly busy. And if you want something done, ask her to do it. She'll do it. I've watched her over the last couple of years grow. And Guide Dog Users Washington State as secretary. And I remember last year when she tried to renew her board position and got elected off. And so I would like to see her come back. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Jenny, who will be your speakers?
Mary Richards and Michelle White.
All right. Get microphones to Marilee Richards and Michelle White.
Hi, I'm here to nominate Jenny. She's new to the group, but she is a hard worker. She has worked outside her chapter, not only with the chapter. She was the first person to do the Stop the Bleed, so she has gone through full training and is now not only certified, but she can train to give a class, which is really good to take. She is active in her church. She is a certified chaplain at her church. She is a go-getter. She's gotten a lot accomplished this year at our chapter, and I recommend that you vote for Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you. And how much time does Michelle have? 1 minute, 15 seconds. Go.
I encourage you to vote for Jenny Anderson. She's the president of Snohomish County Council of the Blind. She is serving on the Crisis Committee at WCB, Membership Committee, and the Advocacy Committee. She's involved in the community. She's also a part of the TAC Committee for the DART system, and she is helping DART with figuring out the bus, how the buses should work for the disabled. I encourage you to vote for her.
Great. Thank you. All right. This time, you will punch once for Reg George, twice for Danette Dixon, three times for Jenny Anderson, and then pass your balance to the center aisle, please. All right. Are ballots still being collected? All right. They're coming. This is a big room, you guys. Any more ballots? All right. Last call for ballots. And no stuffing the ballot box. Vote early and often. Yeah, watch those chads, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. All right. All ballots collected? All right. Mr. Cuta will do another constitutional amendment.
Coming out of the committee, we have Amendment 2018-2, amending Article 5. It's coming out with a due pass recommendation, and I so move.
Wait a minute. Is she going to read it?
Well, I was going to say, let's make the motion, second it, get on the floor, then worry about reading it and discussing it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Is there a second?
There's a second, yes.
Okay, Lisa, could you read the synopsis?
Amendment 2018-2, these changes clarify many of the special dues and reporting responsibilities associated with being either a member at large or a lifetime member.
All right. There's a motion on the floor and... Yes.
Is this the amendment? Sorry. Is this the amendment that changes now that if somebody has let their membership lapse who had paid life member, that it would now be $50 to reinstate their membership?
Yes.
Okay. I would like... Wait. I move to amend.
That's good.
I did it. Okay. I move to amend that the language...
Hold on. A point of order is being asked for?
That was the summary.
She did summarize it. That's why I asked for the clarification.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead, Cindy.
Thank you. I move to amend that the language requiring someone to pay any amount to be reinstated after they've already paid a life membership be removed from this amendment.
The $50 or they have to pay the applicable current year's dues?
They still have to pay the applicable current dues to current member in good standing. That's required no matter what. If somebody doesn't pay it, then they're not in good standing. But I think, I don't want to talk yet. I'm making a motion. I move
and
to amend.
And it's been seconded. Yeah. And it's been seconded.
It has been seconded.
Yes.
So then I'm going to speak in favor of
it. Okay. So you're going to speak in favor of the motion.
Yes,
all right.
Please.
All right. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think that when somebody pays $150 or whatever the amount might be at the time to become a life member, it's not saying life member if, it's a life membership. And if for some reason somebody does not pay the other applicable dues that keeps them in good standing for a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it may be, then they're not a voting member, they don't receive any benefits of our organization, and so on. But if they want to come back, darn it, I want to welcome them back, and they shouldn't have to pay to do it. Please vote in favor of this amendment.
All right. Is there anybody?
I would like to ask for clarification. Is your move to amend to delete the last sentence?
Yeah, that's essentially it.
That's what the last sentence does.
Yeah, her motion is just to remove that sentence. All right, is there anybody who wants to speak against the motion?
I would like to speak in favor of it, but I want to make a clarification here.
Okay, hold on just a second, Terry.
All right.
Is there anybody wishing to speak against? Then we don't need anybody else to speak.
But I want to make a point of clarification here. If someone doesn't pay the applicable national dues, that means they can't vote nationally. They could still vote at the state level because you paid your lifetime membership.
No. Well, that's
right. How would you lose your state membership? You're a lifetime member. You paid for it. You're not going to lose your state membership because you don't pay your national dues. That's the whole point. You're still a member in good standing at the state. That's the point of being a lifetime member. You don't make...
Madam President, in our Constitution, Terry, it actually says to be a member in good standing, you have to pay national dues. So if they haven't paid the national dues, then they aren't a member in good standing in our state, and they wouldn't be able to vote and all of that stuff. So it actually says that. Yeah, it does say it.
All right.
So are we ready to vote on the amendment?
Call for the question.
To amend. This is too confusing, guys. All right. We're voting on Cindy's amendment.
Point of clarification.
Yes.
So, could we just, what we're voting on here, the amendment, we're talking about deleting the last sentence, is that correct?
Correct.
Then could we read that sentence so we know what we're deleting? Thanks.
Yes, can you read the last sentence, Lisa? Can I have the
microphone? To activate a dormant lifetime membership, the member must pay $50 and the applicable current year's dues.
I think that we should shorten that last sentence instead of deleting it completely and take out, you know, the $50 thing, because it's obvious we have to pay the applicable dues, right? Or do we need to make that? Okay, it's elsewhere? Then never mind.
So, but that wasn't...
The amendment we're voting on was to change, to take out the $50.
No, it's to delete the last sentence.
I hate to do it, but this is Reginald George, and I wanted to speak against Cindy's motion to amend the amendment.
Okay, go ahead, Reg.
I am afraid that we just need to vote the whole thing up or down and start over. Reason for that being, it doesn't take out all the language that in this amendment about a lifetime membership going dormant. It only takes out part of it. I think that we need the whole amendment to
We can
read.
Read the whole thing, but let me just say a clarification here, okay? The language we put in about dormancy has to do with a problem that currently exists. It solves the problem that currently exists because these people don't know that they get into trouble. They forget to report. They forget to pay their due, you know, the regular dues and stuff. And they're still lifetime members, and we still have to report them. We still have to pay their dues to the national, okay? So we're trying to resolve that problem. The part about the penalty at the end is really the only concern, really. And we can read the whole thing if you want, but I mean, it's really, that's the problem, that last sentence, okay? That puts a penalty on coming back in. But you could take that away, and it does not affect the rest of it. The rest of the amendment is just great.
All right. Well, that alleviates my concern then.
Thank you.
All right. Do we want the whole thing? We still have to vote on this part. All right. The question's been called for to vote on removal of the last sentence, essentially. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, now we're ready to vote on the constitutional amendment as amended.
No, not amended.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was amended. Hey, I'm already confused. Don't get me any more confused. That's why I don't do constitution and bylaws. All right. So, all in favor of the amended amendment... signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. I can't quite figure this out because this time we had 117 votes. So this is weird.
We did. No. We voted on the amendment as amended. We'd already amended it. We already voted. Okay.
Yes, we did vote twice.
All right. So I have the results. Reg George, 79. Danette Dixon, 23. Jenny Anderson, 15. Congratulations, Reg. Get Reg a mic.
I can't always get the words out, so I'm going to follow Frank's example and just say thank you.
All right. We will now move on to the second board position. The nominating committee has placed into nomination the name of Julie Brannon. Are there any nominations from the floor? Okay, Danielle. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Jenny? Okay. Jenny, all right. Are there any other nominations from the floor? And one third and final time, are there any other nominations from the floor? All right. Hearing none, we have a motion to close nominations. Is there a second? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Julie, who will your speakers be? All right, Tim McCorkle, and then Julie will speak for herself. Does Tim have a microphone?
In a minute.
Whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon. I rise in support of Julie Brannon's candidacy for a membership on the WC Board of Directors. Julie is dedicated to the cause of the blind and the visually impaired. She has exhibited this through her many years of experience at the Washington Department of Services for the Blind, OTC, where she taught Braille and now is the program manager. She also taught Braille at the Seattle Lighthouse. She also has spent many years involved in all aspects of the Washington Council of the Blind, serving as the chair of the scholarship committee, the awards committee, and the current chair of the membership committee. She's also been a board member and a vice president in the past. I've worked with her since she taught me Braille at OTC, and everybody knows what an evangelist she is for the Braille, but she's more than that. She's an evangelist for every person, their ability to achieve, and she takes that commitment to whatever position she takes. Finally, I believe in my working with Julie, she is immensely creative. She really doesn't know how to say no, and that's a good and a bad thing. But it's the creativity when we're up against how to solve a problem that I always look to and turn to for her counsel. I can think of no better person to serve you on the WC Board of Directors than Julie Brannon. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. How much time does Julie have?
1 minute, 19 seconds.
1 minute, 19 seconds, Julie.
Thank you, Tim. I do have a passion for this organization. I've been in the organization a long time, and I'm going to segue on what Reggie indicated. We are at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads for the organization. We do need to start appealing to young people, because if we don't, we're going to die. And we have a message, but we need to be very strong in getting our message out there. There's another organization at the door, and we need to be just as strong as they are, because we have, in my opinion, and I'm going to say it, a better message. We're very democratic. We let everyone have a voice. We accept anyone in our organization, and we listen, and we problem solve, and we come to conclusions in a very democratic manner. But we need to get our voice out there, and we need to start getting people in to carry on our torch. We have lost two very strong voices, as you know. It's been said many times. But it doesn't mean that we can't step up to the plate and that we should. And I want to be a part of the officership or the directorship of this organization to help that happen. Thank you.
All right. Danielle, do you wish to... have your speeches stay as they are, or do you wish to have anybody else speak for you?
Since Julie's running against me for Julie talk for me, now I can choose to put Julie in that position, or I can choose to say, you know what, she's got enough to worry about. So I will do it because I'm a talker.
All right, go.
My husband calls me Chatterbox. So just a couple things that I want to say. I am a speaker, but I'm not always so good as some of these people are. But I do want you to know, one, some qualifications, and two, that just like I said last time, I really want the chance. Now, my qualifications are that I've always been on the top intellectually. I have a master's degree in mental health. I have served that population and the blind population and families of the blind population. I've worked at Lilac Services for the Blind. I worked for 7 years in the state of Virginia working with the blind. And believe me, you guys, some of those people are really, really backwards, I guess. I mean, they don't know. You know, you go into their house and it smells like bacon, because everybody loves to fry things in bacon grease. So I did that for about 8 years. I guess I must be boring people. So I did that for years. Then I came back to Washington State. I've been with guide dog users since their beginning. I've been with this organization since its beginning. I can remember sitting with Jim Eccles and Terry Atwater and Chris Gray while we were trying to move this organization to where it is now. And yes, it is absolutely important that we move forward. But those of us who started this are still capable of moving forward because that's the kind of people that we are. So now I was president of our chapter. I gave our chapter a 501c3 status. And I have worked tirelessly for this organization. I'm kind of sorry I'm running against Julie because I feel like this, I don't know. Anyway, so that's what I want to say. You know, experience, mentoring is just as important to help those young people move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Danielle. Okay, and I'm going to explain this to Jenny because she hasn't gotten to do this before. Jenny, you have the option to let your speeches stand from before, or you have the option to have other people speak for you, or you speak for yourself again. Which would you choose to do?
I'll speak for myself.
All right, get a mic to Jenny.
Thank you very much, and I am sorry that I totally blew that last one. Thank you for whoever bailed me out of that. And that is my key point. I think that a leader needs to be able to stand up and say she made a mistake, and I did. I have not been in this organization that long, but I am new in it, and I believe what I bring is a breath of fresh air. Old things pass away. Not you.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, here I go again. Not you. I'm talking about the old ways. It's time to bring in some new and refreshing ways, ways that will work, ways that you get out there, you push it a little bit, you find out if it's going to work. If not, you say, okay, we did it, we tried, it didn't work. Now what do we do? And that's what I intend on bringing forth, is trying new ways and making it go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You will punch one punch for Julie, two for Danielle, three for Jenny. And then pass your ballots to the center. So are ballots still being collected? All right, thank you. Ballots all collected? No. Did somebody's own? Anybody still have a ballot? All right. How about another constitutional amendment? This is so exciting. That's right.
Coming out of the bylaws committee, we have a bylaw change. This is amendment 2018-3, and this amends bylaw 13. Lisa?
Amendment 2018-3. This change removes two of the four affiliate requirements from bylaw 13 that need to be met in order to receive an affiliate stipend. They are redundant since they already exist elsewhere in the Constitution.
Okay, this comes out of the committee with a due pass recommendation, and I so move.
Second. All right. Frank, could you just, I think, because people are going to ask this question. So can you tell us what the two are that are being removed?
Okay, so in order to get a stipend, you know, we make all these requirements on chapters. Two of them are that you have, you submit your membership data. What's your? And you submit the constitution or any constitutional changes. No, that's not one of them.
Yeah, it is.
Is it? Okay, anyway, all right. So, okay, and those two are already required elsewhere in the Constitution. So it's pretty silly to say that there are two requirements to get a stipend.
Yeah, essentially.
They're already required.
They're
already,
yeah. They're required elsewhere in the Constitution. So all they're doing is removing redundancy. They don't have to be stated again. It doesn't change anything other than the fact that we're just saying it doesn't have to be stated again. So, any questions? Are we ready to vote? All right. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Whoa.
Let's do another one.
You're on a roll.
Okay. Coming out of the committee, we have another bylaw change. This is amending the first bylaw dealing with the naming of committees, and we want to change the name of the Families with Blind Children Committee.
And the deadline.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Amendment 2018-4. This changes the deadline for committee appointments to January 31 and renames the Families with Blind Children Committee.
And it calls the Families Committee.
WCB Families.
Oh, WCB? Families. Okay, that's the new name. And this is coming out of the committee with a due pass recommendation, and I so move.
Second.
All right. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Well, let's try one more.
Okay, so amendment number, is this five?
Yes.
Okay, it is actually a significant change, and so we need to and, but it's coming out of the committee with a do-pass recommendation, and I so move, and then we'll read the description of it. Is there a second?
Yes. Okay, there's a second.
Amendment 2018-5. This is the first of 9 new amendments submitted by the Finance Committee. This change adds a definition of a member in good standing, which will be referenced in various bylaws as an eligibility requirement. A principal consequence is that members who are in default will not be eligible for many WCB services, nor to run for office until the problem is resolved. This change also raises the voting age to 18 to be consistent with ACB. It further restricts the privileges of junior members.
Yeah, because of the voting age change. All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, we can't have to six by itself.
What'd you say?
She needs more caffeine up there.
That's right. I know.
She asking for another one?
Yes.
Okay. Number six is another, well, pretty much stands alone, so we'll take it separately. This is coming out of the committee with a do-pass recommendation, and I so move.
Amendment 2018-6. This change specifies that only members in good standing are eligible to apply for and receive stipends and or loans to the ACB convention and defines the consequences for not participating as expected. It also removes language regarding specifics of the promissory note.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Give a mic to her.
I just wanted some clarification. Didn't the amendment we just passed already state that if you weren't in good standing, you wouldn't get loans and all?
No, that one didn't talk about loans. That was just the definition of member in good standing. And
all these amendments had language in them for the requirements that needed to be met, and it was all redone. It went over and over. Everyone said you needed to be not in default of a loan, and you need to be this, that, and the other thing. And so what we're doing is we just put all those into one definition, a member in good standing. And we're taking out of all this extra language out of all these amendments and putting in member in good standing.
Okay, I think I understand now. Thank you.
Well, we want to make sure people understand what they're voting on, so don't. All right, any other questions? Any other need for clarification? All right, hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Six, seven, eight, nine. Okay. We're going to do 7, 8, 9, 11, and 12 now together because...
Okay, hold up.
You weren't asking for it?
Okay.
I got a calculator?
Yeah.
Mine
yep.
Screwed up.
Okay.
8, 6, 13, 25.
120.
You know, I don't know what it is. Every vote, we have four people voting. We're increasing. Actually, this might be a good problem, because usually we're decreasing, and that's not a good problem. All right. What?
We're in Chicago.
All right, I have the results. This time we had 120 votes.
This is really weird.
All right. Julie Brandon, 86. Danielle Marr, 13. Jenny Anderson, 21. Congratulations, Julie. Get a microphone to Julie.
Got one. I was just telling Tim, I hate my voice on the mic. I hope I don't sound that way.
And
he informed me that I sound this way. So anyway, thank you all very, very much. I love this organization. I've worked for it for many years. Care about it very much, and I care very much about our future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Guess what, you guys? We only have one more election. No. They want to stay here all day. All right. We. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. We will get the door prizes, I promise. All right. The third and final board position. The nominating committee has placed into nomination the name of Heather Mears. Are there any nominations from the floor? Hold on, one at a time, please. Okay, Danette.
I nominate Mika White.
Mika, okay. All right. All right. Sarah, We got her. All right. Are there any other nominations from the floor? And one third and final time, are there any other nominations from the floor? Hearing none, do we have a motion to close nominations?
So moved.
There's a second. Okay, so I'm going to, before I let anybody speak, I just want to make sure we all know who all's running, because it was confusing. So we have Heather, Danette, Mika, Lori, Danielle. All right. Jenny. I had her, too. Sorry, Jenny. Okay. She's not going to let me come to see her chapter, because I... All right. Yes, Danielle. All right, so Danielle is withdrawing her name. Okay, hold on, let me get her out of here. Okay. All right. So, Heather, who will be your speakers? All right. Get a mic to Cindy. And Cindy, let us know when you're ready.
I am ecstatic to be speaking on behalf of Heather Mears. Heather is new to the organization, but not new to work. In fact, I only met her last year, but as soon as I met her at convention last year, I knew she was a force to be reckoned with and that we would benefit from her leadership. Heather is involved in the Walla Walla chapter. More importantly to me, she's also active on two of the committees I serve on. One of them, I'm chair. She did her due diligence in not only participating on convention committee meetings, but also doing background work to ensure that her ideas came to fruition. On the Newsline committee, she has done a lot of writing, has come up with new ideas, and what I think I'm most impressed about Heather is her ability to, or how unafraid she is, inhibited she is, to ask tough questions and hold people accountable. I think that we need that on the board. Also, anytime there are discussions open on conference calls, whether it's about the budget, learning about leadership, whatever it is, Heather is on that call. I urge you to vote for Heather Mears. We won't be sorry.
All right. How much time does Reg have?
1 minute, 29 seconds.
1 minute, 29 seconds, Reg.
Heather has a proven heart and passion for advocacy, and she's proving it every day. She endured discrimination in the workplace and won. Recently, she had filed a formal complaint with the FCC. I've never seen one get turned around so quickly, and it did result in CenturyLink changing something simple on their website that allows screen reader users to be able to pay your bill online. She has earned the respect of everyone that she has worked with because of all the things that Cindy just mentioned. And I would urge you all, she's an eloquent, articulate voice for WCB, And I would urge you to embrace the recommendation of the nominating committee and vote Heather to the WCB board. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Danette, do you wish to have your speakers stand, or do you want... You want them to speak again? Or do you want them what they said before to stand? Speak again. All right. Yes, some of us don't have very long memories. Okay. Kim. Oh, I'm getting brain dead. Kim Moberg. Get a mic to Kim.
Hi again. Now, I just want you to know that if you want energy and powerful work, you want Danette Dixon on the board. She is awesome. She meets deadlines. She brings energy. And if there is a question that needs to be asked, she's going to ask it. She's going to find out the answer. She's going to ask the question so that the answers can be brought to the table and things can be resolved. So I recommend Danette Dixon for the board position.
Great. Thank you. Okay, how much time is left?
2 minutes, 28 seconds.
All right, Andy, you have 2 minutes and 28 seconds.
Danette's a little engine that could. She served on the board before, and she's interested in learning more. So we should give her a chance to try to learn more by keeping her around. I think that if we give her the opportunity, she'll, as Kim says, she'll ask those questions. She's not afraid to make a mistake. She learns from her mistakes. Every time she gets a correction, she jumps right in it and fixes it. To err is human. And as I'm a teacher by trade, and I tell all of my students, you can't learn unless you make a mistake. And so Danette has learned a lot in the last few years. Not saying she's made a lot of mistakes, but every time she does, she gets stronger and stronger in her pursuit to be part of the board. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mika, do you wish your speeches to stand, or would you like to have them?
I will let it stand.
All right. Lori, do you wish to have your speeches stand, or? All right, you'll have them stand. Jenny, do you wish to have your speeches stand or to speak again?
Patricia Bass and Marsha White.
All right. Get a mic to Patricia.
Hi. Do you hear that sound? Dum, 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 dum. That is the Energized Bunny, and that's what Ginny is. Please sit there and vote for her.
Ah, that's it? Okay. And Jenny, Marsha was your other speaker?
Yeah.
Okay. Right here. How much time does Marsha have?
2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yeah. Marsha can say a lot.
Jenny has been an integral part in helping SCCB obtain our 501(c) status. She's had prior experience running a 501(c), and as such, she helped SCCB to make the necessary changes to bring the group into proper compliance to get our 501(c) status. She's active in the community and is very good at networking. She is active and on several WCB committees. I feel she would do well in a board position and will bring new and fresh ideas to the board.
Great. Thank you. All right, guys. This is going to be, you're really going to have to pay attention. One punch for Heather. Two for Danette, three for Mika, four for Lori, and five for Jenny. And then pass your ballots to the center aisle.
Yeah, I'm coming.
One for Heather, two for Danette, three for Mika, four for Lori, five for Jenny. Yeah, it does.
You gotta know how to count too. That's the real problem.
Are the ballots still being collected? All right. Pierce County has popcorn for a dollar a bag. $1 a bag if anybody wants one. Popcorn, get your popcorn. Are we ready yet? Everybody got their ballot turned in? All right. Well, since they're on a roll, we're going to go back to some more constitutional amendments.
Okay, and since we're on a roll, we're going to be real adventurous, okay? So I explained that a lot of these changes from now on deal with this member in good standing definition. And we've looked through the remaining amendments and picked out five of them. The only change in these five is replacing the old definition language with member in good standing. So, coming out of the committee, we have amendment 7, 8, 9, 11, and 12, and the committee recommends to do pass.
All right, so we're talking about passing all of these in yeah, because of what you already passed. All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
This change limits eligibility to members in good standing. And that's the same thing for all of these five amendments.
That's the only change. All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Ooh, that took care of a lot of them. Okay, next one.
Ready for another one?
Yes.
Okay. Coming out of the committee, we have amendment 2811-10. I don't remember the years anymore, yeah. Okay, this is our 10th amendment, and it's a little more complicated. It has some other things in it, so here is the synopsis. I'm not being consistent.
He's changing it up. Sometimes he makes the motion first. Sometimes he...
Amendment 2018-10. This change limits eligibility to members in good standing and defines consequences for officers and board members who are delinquent on loan repayment.
Is there a second?
This is coming out of committee with a due pass recommendation, and I so move.
Second.
All right. Is there discussion? Do we have a request to have this one read? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay. Yes, they want to have this one. They would like to have read, please.
Amendment 2018-10. Current language, bylaw 7, WCB sponsored attendance to state board meetings and seminars. C, eligibility and expectations. In order to qualify for WCB sponsorship to attend a board meeting or seminar, an individual must have been a WCB member for at least 3 months prior to the date of the specific event. This requirement may be waived for charter members of new WCB affiliates. No member will qualify for sponsorship through a special seminar if they have outstanding WCB loan payments in default. Eligibility will be confirmed by the president or his, her designee. If an elected officer or board member falls behind in a loan payment, they must immediately contact the WCB president and make arrangements to pay off the loan in a lump sum or reschedule the payments to make it possible to pay it off by the deadline before services will be resumed. Officers, board members, and affiliate representatives are required to attend regularly scheduled board meetings, and board members are expected to also participate in the less formal monthly board telephone conference calls. Board members and affiliate representatives must make reports of the regularly scheduled board meetings that they attend at their respective local affiliate meetings. Proposed language, bylaw 7, WCB sponsored attendance to state board meetings and seminars. C, eligibility and expectations. In order to qualify for WCB sponsorship to attend a board meeting or seminar, an individual must have been a WCB member for at least 3 months prior to the date of the specific event and must be a member in good standing. This requirement may be waived for charter members of new WCB affiliates. Eligibility will be confirmed by the president or his, her designee. If an elected officer or board member becomes delinquent on a WCB loan, The loan may be required to be immediately repaid in full, and he, she will not be eligible for paid board meeting or seminar travel expenses. At the discretion of the treasurer, reimbursable expenses paid directly by the affected member may be applied against his, her outstanding loan balance. Officers and board members are required to attend regularly scheduled board meetings unless excused by the president in advance.
All right. That's it. So is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, do we have a motion to, I mean, we have a motion. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's have a door prize, Heather.
I mean,
Shannon!
Whatever your name is.
You know, Denise is not the first person that I can think of that has called me Heather for some reason. I don't know why I get called Heather all the time, but I do, so I guess I'll start answering to it. Anyway, we're going to do another of the compacts that Dan Lavelle has made. I looked at one of them between doing things, and I really think that they're very pretty. And another $10 and a raffle ticket for the GDUWS raffle that's going on at the banquet. So, now we got a system. All right. Kathleen Curatolo, are you in the room? Gonna take that as a no. Okay. Oh, Patricia Johnson, are you in the room?
No, she's not here.
Yeah, she's here. Pat Johnson.
Should we do another one?
One more, sure.
All right. Why not? Same thing. It's gonna be another compact and $10 gift card. With a raffle ticket, yeah. $10 cash. Stephen Hamilton, are you in the room?
Stephen Hamilton? No.
Actually, it says Stephen Hamilton on this braille, so. Jason Allen, are you in the room?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Dina Pearl Thomas, are you in the room?
She's here.
All right.
Yay.
Okay, let me get
these. All right. I have the results.
Thank you.
This one's going to require another vote. This time we had 116. Nine, you know? I don't know if people are just disappearing and then reappearing. What? All right. Here are the results. And we will be dropping the bottom two.
Hold on just a minute, guys. We need to do something here. You actually do have it.
because it's P9, so it would be one. You have 162, so 59 would be over half.
Oh, we are. Okay, we don't have to do that. You guys, this one was complicated. Barely, but we have it. Heather, 59. Danette, 12. Mika, 16. Lori, 12. Jenny, 17. Congratulations, Heather. Get a microphone to Heather.
Huh? No.
Heather is.
We don't have any pictures.
Yeah.
She'll be really good too.
I am humbled and honored to serve you, and I will make you proud.
Thank you. Now I can say this. I couldn't say it before. The one thing nobody said about Heather was she was our first timer to national convention and did an awesome job. All right, Frank, how many more do we have?
One.
Oh! Oh, wait. Before we do that. I'm sorry. No, we're not going to do a door prize. You're not drawing my name, so we're not going to do a door prize. I know. I really want to take this opportunity to say to Carol Brame, Annie Hartzell, and Laurie Allison, they will be going off the board. They have all done an amazing job. Well, Cindy, too, is going off the board because she was filling in. They have all done an amazing job, and we truly want to say thank you to all of the work you've all put in and given to the board. And I know that they will continue to be around, and they will continue to work, because that's what this organization is all about. You do not have to be an officer or a board member to do the work of WCB, and these ladies have shown that that is how it works. So thank you so much. Okay, now Frank.
Denise?
Yes. We won't be doing anything worse. Let's pass your envelopes to the center aisle so they can pick them up. Put your nail back inside.
Oh, but someone might still request a secret ballot on something.
I want a secret ballot.
Yeah, on the thank you resolutions, we're going to do a secret ballot. Two announcements I'll make while we're doing this is that, first of all, if you've tried to use the ATM machine, wonder why you aren't having any luck, it's because it's not working.
And there's a print sign up there.
And there's a print sign up there that says it doesn't work. I know, what's wrong with us anyway? Also, I want to just remind everybody that we have two raffles. Not counting our big raffle. I'm talking about the smaller raffles. Both guide dog users of Washington State still have raffle tickets, I suspect. And South Kitsap has raffle tickets, and you can get those from Carol or Jessamine, or the Whitlows, or Kim Moberg. And who's got...
Yakima Valley has one, too.
Yakima Valley has one, too?
Also has a 50-50 raffle.
Okay. Yakima Valley is also having a 50-50 raffle.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Have the ballots all gone, the envelopes all been picked up? Are they all picked up now? Anybody still have their ballots? All right, let's do the last constitutional amendment.
Coming out of the committee is Amendment 13. And we'll read the synopsis and then I'll make the motion this time.
Amendment 2018-13. This change specifies what convention expenses will be paid for a scholarship winner and further restricts what expenses will be paid for a scholarship winner's guest.
This is coming out of the committee with a do pass recommendation, and I so move.
Is there a second? Any discussion, questions? All right, they'd like it read.
Amendment 2018-13, current language, bylaw 11, WCB scholarship program, A, committee procedure. Scholarship applicants must complete and submit an application and be interviewed by the WCB scholarship committee. Decisions of the scholarship committee to award scholarships shall be final and not appealable. All legally blind persons admitted to academic and vocational training programs for the current application year are encouraged to apply. Confirmation of eligibility will be at the discretion of the scholarship chair. B, eligibility and expectations. 1, the applicants must be legally blind. 2, the applicant must be enrolled or planning to enroll in an accredited vocational school, college, or university. 3, the applicant must be a resident of Washington State. A resident of Washington State is defined as an individual whose physical residence has been in Washington State for a period of 12 consecutive months at the time of application. It's really hard for me to read if other people are talking. Thanks. 4, unless other arrangements are approved in advance by the scholarship chair, recipients must attend the banquet at the WCB Fall State Convention to receive their awards. C, convention expenses. 1, the scholarship recipient, along with one other person of their choice, will be our guests at the state convention banquet. If they wish to stay at the hotel that night, WCB will directly pay for lodging for them both for one night. 2, if the scholarship recipient wishes to attend all or any part of the convention, WCB will directly pay for lodging for both persons for these additional nights. WCB will also directly pay all associated convention pre-registration costs, but only for the scholarship recipient. In the event that meals are not included in the student's pre-registration, per diem will be calculated and paid in accordance with the per diem rates published by OFM. Reasonable travel costs, including bus, train, or mileage, may also be covered. Mileage will be reimbursed at the current OFM mileage rate. Unless approved in advance by the scholarship chair, airfare will not be covered. 3, scholarship awards to WCB members supersede any other state convention stipends or awards. Proposed language, bylaw 11, WCB Scholarship Program, A, Committee Procedure. Scholarship applicants must submit a current, complete application packet and be interviewed by the WCB Scholarship Committee. Decisions of the Scholarship Committee to award scholarships shall be final and not appealable. All legally blind persons admitted to academic and vocational training programs for the current application year are encouraged to apply. Confirmation of eligibility will be at the discretion of the scholarship chair. B, eligibility and expectations. 1, the applicant must be legally blind. 2, the applicant must be enrolled or planning to enroll in an accredited vocational school, college, or university. 3, the applicant must be a resident of Washington State. A resident of Washington State is defined as an individual whose physical residence has been in Washington State for a period of 12 consecutive months at the time of application. 4, unless approved in advance by the scholarship chair, scholarship recipients are expected to attend the banquet at the annual WCB State Convention to receive their awards. 5, scholarship awards to WCB members supersede any other state convention stipends or awards. 6, each scholarship recipient may bring a guest to the WCB State Convention banquet meal at no cost. No other lodging or travel benefits apply to the recipient's guest. C, recipient benefits. 1, banquet meal. Each scholarship recipient will be our banquet guest, receiving the state convention banquet meal at no cost. 2, convention registration. If a scholarship recipient wishes to attend all or any part of the convention in addition to the banquet, WCB will directly pay for the convention registration cost, including a meal package if offered. 3, lodging. If a scholarship recipient has indicated the desire to attend all or part of the convention program or wishes to stay at the hotel the night of the banquet, WCB will directly pay for lodging for the scholarship recipient as defined in the current WCB policy document regarding lodging. 4, travel. WCB will directly pay for travel for the scholarship recipient as defined in the current WCB policy document regarding travel.
All right, so it's been moved and seconded to adopt this amendment. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
What? You gotta be quicker. Call for clarification. Yeah, get her a mic, please.
Wave, wave.
I think my mind is rummy, but let me just understand. The changes in what we'll do for the guests, is that correct?
Yes, essentially.
And the changes,
yes.
We will not pay for lodging or registration?
Anything. But
we don't pay for anything but the banquet. And that is only for one guest.
Right.
So if they want to bring two or three guests.
They have to pay those.
Yes.
But now we just pay for the banquet for the guest.
Right. Yes. Oh yeah, and the scholarship winner has to adhere to the same travel policy and lodging policy that all of our members do.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's double occupancy and, you know, reasonable travel. Yeah, cause we've done some really weird things lately. All right.
I want to speak in opposition.
Okay, go ahead.
When we recognize a scholarship recipient, it is not only that scholarship recipient that got them to that point. It is their family and the people that supported them. By saying that they can bring a guest, but for dinner only, we are limiting that guest to a very small experience at our convention. We are not that poor that we need to limit the exposure of people to our organization. We can afford for a little bit more for a scholarship winner's guest.
All right. Any else wants to speak in favor? Okay. Actually, with what we heard at the pre-board meeting, I think that these restrictions are very reasonable. And oftentimes when a guest goes to something, they don't get everything paid for. They come because they want to support the person receiving the scholarship. All right. Is there anybody who wishes to speak against?
So, my name is Doreen Cornwell, and I would like to speak against this. I go to the scholarship bank reception every year. And one year I asked the winners how many of them were the first member of their family to go to college. And over 50% of that year's winners were people who were the first person in their family to go to college. I feel like I understand that we have money concerns, and I think there needs to be ongoing work about how to deal with them. I don't think it should be at the expense of the scholarship winners and their families. I think I agree that this is a way of growing our circle, and I don't think I'd like to speak against it, and in fact, if I were to move it, I'd table it and refer it to scholarship and finance to think about next year.
All right. One more in favor, one more against. Actually, Debbie asked me first. So Deb needs the mic.
Okay.
She's got one. Okay. This organization is very, very committed to scholarships and that whole process, and I'm glad that we are. Every year we spend up to $17,000 on scholarships, and we spend several $1,000 on bringing our scholarship winners to the convention and supporting them in that way. This is not about a big family event. This does not need to be that. And it isn't even so much about budget or money. It's about the fact that this has been pretty blatantly misused. And it's time to make some changes that focus on what we're doing. So we are honoring our scholarship winners. We are absolutely encouraging them to have a guest here if that, you know, is a workable thing. But it doesn't need to be that we need to be supporting the guest to attend the entire convention at our expense. You know, we need to be focusing on getting our scholarship winners to become members. And I think we've been working really hard on that in the last bit. But this isn't about doing all of this other stuff. And so I really strongly encourage that we, regardless of our financial status ever, that this is a good policy for the organization.
Point of clarification.
Yes, Cindy, point of clarification.
Just a minute. Coming.
Thank you. I just want to clarify something. Debbie is treasurer. If somebody is bringing their guest and then their way is paid, if we do this, for the banquet only, but say their person wants to come for the whole thing, would they then, it doesn't say it in here, but it doesn't say we can't, could they pay the difference and get the meal package? I mean, we were covering the $100 and somebody wanted to come for the whole thing, we wouldn't ask them to pay another $150, right?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
That's okay. Thank you. I mean, it doesn't need to be written in there. It just seems like that's something that could easily be done. So we're not saying that they couldn't come for the whole thing, and they wouldn't necessarily have to pay for the whole thing, right?
Correct.
Thank you.
And also, if family members come with the individual, I mean, we want to encourage them to come to convention also. What we're saying is if they're going to come and stay, they can room with that scholarship winner, but they have to pay their half.
Yeah.
We
have paid the whole.
Yeah.
I would like to speak against.
Okay. We'll have one more against, and then we're going to call for the question because we've had three for, and we'll have three against. Reggie.
Actually, this is Haley Yannick. I'm sorry.
Are you speaking?
I am against, I think. I'm thinking that maybe I really agree with not bringing a bunch of extra people, but I also do know that people are returning to college after they've started families, and so if they have, say, children, that they would have to pay someone to watch. Would that count, or is that getting too nitpicky?
You haven't been paying for their children.
Okay.
Is that getting too nitpicky?
Okay, all right. So we're going to vote. I just want to say one thing before we vote. ACB does not pay expenses for family. Not even the banquet ticket. We are part of ACB. Yes, but the reality is, guys, they have way more funds than we do. And they have made the decision, and it's not even a monetary one for them. Okay, are we ready to vote on the amendment? All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All right. All right. It up here it sounded like the ayes had it, but I think the ayes had it. No, up here it sounded like the ayes had it. Unless somebody is insisting on a... All right, we're going to do a hand vote. Everybody in favor of the motion. And so let's not have any walking around or anything because it's too confusing. It's a bylaw. So we need a two-thirds, correct?
Yeah, that was not a two-thirds.
All right, so we're going to need a two-thirds.
No.
No. Oh, it's just a bylaw. All right. Doesn't need two-thirds. Okay, all in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Yeah, we have counters.
Good idea. Bring it up before.
And let me know when you have the count.
Don't raise two hands.
You good, Danielle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that Bill can tell if both hands are
up. Okay. All right. Put your hands down. All right. All opposed, raise your hand. Opposed.
Hey,
Put your hands down. All right. 68 yes, 28 no. The ayes have it.
That was interesting.
You know, it's amazing the things you don't think are going to be controversial. When I love it. It's great. You guys are awesome. We need controversy. Okay, so I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee.
So, I would like to personally thank my committee. You guys worked hard all year long. You know, we don't just work here at the convention, and I think we did a great job. Thank you.
They spent lots of hours, trust me. Some marathons. All right. She said thank you, Lisa.
Oh, and Lisa and Reggie not only produced the audio, but the Braille, too, you know.
They did do a lot of work. They're awesome. Yeah, sure did. Well, yeah, we'll get there. All right. Before we move on to the next fun thing, which is resolutions, want to do something fun? Remember I told you yesterday that we were going to have a drawing for somebody who joined the MMS program for the first time? Well, we didn't have a whole lot of applicants. But... You want to do it?
Do it at the banquet.
All right. They want to do it at the banquet, so there's more time for people to sign up. MMS is the monthly monetary support program that ACB has. And what you can do is you can designate a certain amount of money that will come out of your account each month to go to the organization. You can also designate that half of what you indicate will go to ACB and half will go to WCB. And there is a form you have to fill out to do that. And we're really trying to put a push on MMS because it's another small way to bring in a little more income. And plus, because we really are a part of the larger organization, we want to, you know, assist there too. So we still have applications. We still can assist you in filling them out. And okay, we'll wait until the banquets. Yeah, they're out on
the registration table.
Yeah, they're out on what was the registration table. Since registration is no more. All right. I guess then we're ready for resolutions. Turn it over our resolutions chair, Deb Lewis.
All right, there we go. Okay, so just a couple of things before we go through these six resolutions, three of which we reviewed at the resolutions committee and three of which are somewhat standard. So before we do that, I really want to thank everyone who worked on the resolutions. It was a fabulous group, and I can't even remember who was all there because it was so late at night. But we were so amazing because we had to get to the 12th floor and the elevators were all closed up for the night. And then we finally got one of them to work, and then the room was locked up. So, you know, somebody didn't want us to have any resolutions this year. I wonder who that was. All right. Now, the other part of this is there are a couple of items on which we do not actually have resolutions just because of time ran out, but we do have activity on them. And one of them that Denise mentioned the other night is the issue about accessible prescription labels in our state. And so we do not actually have a resolution on that, but we have a lot of activity on it. And Denise described the process that we had started to go through while Sue and Marlena were both still with us, with a group of people. And that has actually been moved forward a little bit since the passing of Sue and Marlena, because the Human Rights Commission has now chosen to take the lead on this activity for us, and they are looking at whether we can make modification to state non-discrimination statute around this issue. And they haven't determined yet if they can, but they decided that the first step in figuring that out would be to have the governor invite me to join the Human Rights Commission as a commissioner so that I could help them figure it out. So we are moving forward on the prescription issue. And there will be a lot more for you to do, but we have made some steps. So because we weren't really sure how to proceed with a resolution right now, we decided that there's enough activity that a resolution is not required. So having said that, our first resolution, which would then be resolution 18-2018-01, relates to the Older Blind Independent Living Program at the Department of Services for the Blind. And we heard about that this morning. This is a long resolution, so I felt like I needed to compete with the bylaws guys over there for a length. And so here it is, all in one. Whereas the Department of Services for the Blind, DSB, Independent Living Program provides training in adaptive skills of blindness, adaptive technology, and counseling to individuals who are experiencing significant vision loss, allowing these individuals to gain the confidence, skills, and alternative techniques needed to enable them to be a contributing member in their homes and communities. And whereas many medical and social service professionals are unaware of the rehabilitative techniques, technologies, and support services necessary to help blind and low vision individuals adapt to their disabilities and maintain fulfilling, productive lives, and whereas the average cost of independent living services, including administration, is currently about $767 per client, according to the Department of Services for the Blind, and after receiving services, about 85% of independent living clients are able to live alone or with family in the community rather than in a care facility. And whereas census data indicates that 146,800 Washingtonian adults over age 21 have a significant enough vision loss to benefit from DSB's independent living services, yet DSB serves less than 1% of these 146,800 eligible individuals. And due to limited resources, DSB does not typically provide recurring or ongoing services, even though an individual's rehabilitation needs will likely change throughout their lifetime. And whereas there has been no funding increase in more than 10 years at either the federal or state level, while both the eligible population, especially the baby boomer generation, has substantially increased, along with increases in the cost, overall cost of delivering the services. And whereas in state fiscal year 2019, DSB implemented a 20% reduction from the previous year's funding for independent living services due to a lack of discretionary funds, resulting in approximately 300 fewer clients receiving services this year. And whereas DSB has advised the governor's office through a budget request process that without restoration of lost funding, rural areas of the state will be particularly affected as DSB will no longer be able to sustain minimal service levels statewide, and the program may be restricted to providing limited services only in the more populous regions of the state, And whereas contractors and consumer organizations received no significant advance warning of the funding reduction, and contractors have received little direction during the first 4 months of the fiscal year in how to uniformly implement the reductions, which will likely result in significant inconsistency of service delivery throughout the state. I'm glad I didn't have to read that all in one breath. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Washington Council of the Blind in convention assembled at the Crown Plaza Hotel in SeaTac, Washington, on this, the third day of November 2018, that this organization go on record in support of DSB's independent living funding proposal to the governor's office, and that this support be expressed in a letter to the governor with a copy to the State Rehabilitation Council for the Blind, and be it further resolved that the WCB go on record to express its deepest concern and significant frustration with how DSB has implemented the independent living funding reduction, and strongly requesting that the DSB immediately move forward to determine an independent living action plan for the remainder of this year and for the foreseeable future until funding can be restored or increased. And be it further resolved that the board of directors of this organization shall, in partnership with the Committee on Aging and Vision Loss, seek opportunities to communicate with the governor's office and with the state legislature regarding the funding crisis and service needs in the independent living program operated by the Department of Services for the Blind. And the Aging and Blindness Committee, the Resolutions Committee, recommend a due pass. And I so move.
Is there a second?
Can you read that again?
No.
Ours are getting as bad as ACB's. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution passes.
Next. I'm stuck. Just a second.
Oh, she's stuck. Technology is getting stuck today. Have an Adore Prize. That's an Adore Prize. She's shaking up the name.
Nothing makes my technology get unstuck faster than winning some money.
Winning some money? Oh, yeah.
So, and we're going, there's going to be another $10 plus a raffle ticket from the Guide Dog Users of Washington State. I always feel like I'm going to forget something if I say the acronym. So, you get this pistachio wood stylus that, like, your computer stylus that Dan Lavelle made. So.
They're pretty cool, too.
I like pistachios. I had not seen pistachio wood before that I knew about until I felt that. All right. Oh, hey, I know she's in the room. Jenny Anderson.
Yay. All right.
Should we do another one?
Yeah, one more.
All right. So this is going to be some smoked salmon and a Starbucks gift card, a $10 Starbucks gift card with the Seattle Seahawks coffee sleeve thing on it from Lisa and Reggie George. Hey, Sydney Van Winkle.
Yay! Yay! We know she's here.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I apologize for the problems I'm having up here. I have a piece of technology that's actually dying, and we're arguing with each other, so every resolution's going to be a little tricky.
Shall we give it a good funeral?
There you go. All right, so we're at 2018-02. This is a resolution that was submitted, drafted by Doreen Cornwell and worked through by the Resolutions Committee. And it is a resolution in recognition of Sarah Edick and her work with the Tacoma Tenants Organizing Committee. All right, so whereas affordable housing, convenient to work is necessary, and I'm sorry, I can't read. Whereas affordable housing, convenient to work, is necessary, and daily living is necessary to the health and care and shopping. I can't read. What's the matter here? Convenient to work. Oh, I got it. I see there's an error here. Whereas affordable housing, convenient to work, and to necessary daily activities such as health care, shopping, and community participation is of vital interest to everyone, and especially to people who face barriers such as disabilities. And whereas development of new housing resources all too often displaces people who are blind and or who have other disabilities, and whereas the Tacoma Tenants Organizing Committee, including PCAB member Sarah Edick, waged a successful campaign, including media events, testimony before the Tacoma City Council, and other organizing to educate the public about the impact of the housing affordability crisis and to mitigate displacement caused by redevelopment of the Tiki Housing Complex. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Washington Council of the Blind in convention assembled at the Crown Plaza Hotel in SeaTac, Washington on this third day of November 2018, that WCB thanks Sarah Edick for her advocacy, congratulates her as part of the Tacoma Tenants Organizing Committee, recognized by the annual Washington Low Income Housing Alliance Nancy Amity Prize in Movement Building, and encourages Sarah and the Advocacy Committee of WCB to connect interested WCB members with the activities and advocacy of the Washington Low Income Housing Alliance. And the committee recommended a do pass. And I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Good job, Sarah. Number three. Let's do another door prize while she's looking. How many more do you have, Shannon?
I have five.
Five, okay.
Oh, no, but that's not touching the bed, the stuff that we have for the banquet.
I did.
Don't you worry. So I got you guys. So we're going to do another, Lisa George and Reggie George have donated another smoked salmon and a Starbucks gift card with the Seahawks sleeve. Oh. And also, while we're getting this together, I want to thank Lisa George and Carolyn Yunker for helping me with everything this weekend. It's been really awesome. Kelsey Watson, are you in the room?
Oh, yes, yes.
There she is.
All right. And I'm ready. Okay, and I'm ready for the next one.
Okay.
This machine is definitely dying. This resolution was submitted by, this is 2018-03. It was submitted by Burl Colley. And how convenient that the ATM machine has an inaccessible display out here that's telling you it does not work. So we whipped up a resolution. Burl knew this would happen, and he whipped up a resolution. This is regarding the accessibility of vending machines, but it would certainly apply to this issue out here as well. All right. And the thing I will say about this resolution is it was a bit of a challenge to develop because as we reviewed the work that ACB has done in this area, we found that it was not very solid, and they hadn't quite figured out their plan yet either. And I had conversation with Tony Stevens about this yesterday, who was in agreement that this is a real challenge because there are jurisdictional issues. There's not a clear path developed yet in terms of what the solution needs to be. So there's a variety of issues. So we have proposed kind of a research process so that we could lay the groundwork to work with ACB and others to get this resolved. So whereas for years blind people have expressed concerns about inaccessible machines that dispense beverages and other items, and maybe ATMs too, whereas it appears that vending companies are increasingly using credit cards to transact the purchase of their products from their machines, and whereas a blind user cannot tell how much they are paying when the machine displays transaction information in the window, and if the particular selection is out of stock, the user can't read the displayed message, and whereas some manufacturers are making their selections available using alphanumeric keypads, requiring a user to press the correct combination of keys to make a selection, and machine owners often change the location of the items so that memorizing the items isn't reliable. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Washington Council of the Blind in convention assembled at the Crown Plaza Hotel in SeaTac, Washington on this third day of November, 2018, that the WCB president and board of directors be directed to take the following steps in order to ascertain the best resolution of this matter. One, consult with the ACB National Office to determine what actions are being taken with respect to previously passed ACB resolutions on this matter. Two, seek consultation with the Washington State Vendors Committee and the Business Enterprise Program of the Department of Services for the Blind to determine the level of interest in this matter and what actions might be taken through contract negotiations or other leveraging options with government and industry. Three, initiate discussions with industry and with technology developers to determine options that might be feasible implementation of this accessible vending options. Four, consult with the Human Rights Commission regarding applicability of the Washington State Law Against Discrimination, RCW 4960. And we'll do that one in memory of Sue. And five, take additional steps based on the findings of these activities and report back to the WCB Board of Directors. And the committee recommended a do pass. And I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Sir? Yes. Get a mic.
Just a second.
Get the man a mic.
This is David Edick. I like the resolution. I was just wondering how easily it would be it's not technology trouble. I would like to see if it's possible to add something about touch screen vending machines, including the fountain drinks like Coca-Cola Freestyle that they have where you get 100 different combinations on a touch screen.
Yeah, I think that's really as part of this already.
Okay. It didn't
I think
sound
that
like
is
that.
Part of the intent here.
Yeah,
okay. I really do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there, so.
Yeah, you know, and we didn't try to define every kind that there could be.
Okay.
But it definitely is one
you know,
of those.
It's definitely yes. part of the issue though, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen talking vending machines,
sure.
But they're few and far between.
Sure.
Yes.
Just a minute, Josette.
Deb, does that also include the touch screens on airplanes as well?
No, we're talking about vending machine.
Okay, because no, it's for food and stuff. That that's okay. Thanks.
We're not talking about the in-flight stuff.
No, because that's a different, very different kind of jurisdiction. So
right.
We don't have that on here. No.
All right. Any other questions? We ready to vote? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution passes.
Okay. All right, and I'm actually already ready with the next one. So this is going to be 2018-04, and this is commendation of the hotel. So whereas the Crowne Plaza Hotel in SeaTac, Washington has provided essential services and important accommodations to the members of the Washington Council of the Blind, WCB, attending its 2018 convention, and whereas the staff of the Crowne Plaza Hotel has been amazingly friendly and helpful, and whereas the success of a convention is dependent upon the quality of the services provided by the hotel, now, therefore, be it resolved by the Washington Council of the Blind in convention assembled at the Crowne Plaza Hotel in SeaTac, Washington on this third day of November 2018, that this organization expressed its thanks and appreciation for the extraordinary services and accommodations provided to its members in attendance at this year's state convention. And we recommended a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carried.
I think I've got the right one. Yes, 05. Washington Council of Washington Council of the Blind Resolution 2018-05. Are we still on the same date? Yeah. This is a commendation of the South King County Council of the Blind as our host chapter. Whereas the handling of local arrangements for a Washington Council of the Blind State Convention is a mammoth undertaking, and whereas the members of the South King County Council of the Blind have met every challenge in hosting the 2018 WCB State Convention in SeaTac, Washington, and have welcomed and assisted WCB members in a friendly, helpful, and grand fashion. Yes, indeed. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Washington Council of the Blind in convention assembled at the Crowne Plaza Hotel in SeaTac, Washington on this third day of November 2018, that this organization wholeheartedly thank and commend the host chapter for its fine work. And I do recommend a due pass, and so moved.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let's give them a well.
No, you gotta have one more resolution and then I don't care what you do. Okay. Washington, Council of the Blind Resolution 2018-06, commending volunteers. Whereas volunteers have provided superb services in all ways to attendees of the 2018 Washington Council of the Blind Convention, now, therefore, be it resolved by the Washington Council of the Blind in convention assembled at the Crowne Plaza Hotel in SeaTac, Washington on this third day of November 2018, that this organization warmly and most sincerely expresses its appreciation to all volunteers who worked to assist the attendees of the 2018 WCB convention, and be it further resolved that this organization request that the WCB president and the host chapter assist in communicating this resolution or its sense to all volunteers. And we recommend a do pass, and I so move.
Madam President?
Yes, Cindy.
May I speak?
You may.
Wait just a minute.
We'll get you a mic. Is it friendly?
I think it's friendly because I think that, you know, when it was written, it was just not with given maybe all the information.
Uh-huh.
I think instead of it saying that the chapter and the president, it should be that the volunteer coordinator send out that information.
We'll take that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
All right. All in favor of the resolution, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
That completes the 2018 resolutions.
Okay, let's do a couple door prizes while Burl is getting ready. This is happening to us again, guys. We're having very minimal time to do the budget.
Okay. First of all, I'm really sorry I forgot to thank Colette Arbitson for her help on Thursday night with door prizes as well. And also, I have six left, so obviously my position as WCB treasurer is not going to be coming up anytime soon because simple math eludes me. So, speaking of simple math, we got another $500,000 worth of candy and $20 from the Yakima Valley Council of the Blind going to Ramon Rodriguez, who's sitting right here. All right, another $500,000 worth of candy and $20 from Yakima Valley Council of the Blind goes to Maria Buczynski.
Is she here?
All
right.
All right, she's here. All right, we just were told that the ATM machine is now fixed. So now you have no excuse not to get money so you can buy raffle tickets and put your tickets on our raffle baskets and prizes and wonderful things.
That's right. Are you coming up here?
All right. We now are going to move on to the budget. I just hate this. This happens every year. My question to you before we get started is, do you want the budget read section by section or line by line? Neither. No, really, 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 guys, in all seriousness, how, in the time we, pardon?
Madam President.
Yes.
Has the budget changed significantly since Thursday night?
It has not changed at all.
And I move that we approve the budget as submitted to the Thursday night board meeting.
All right. Is there any discussion? Yes, Cindy.
This is important stuff, and I actually would like to, there's one line item that I heard on Thursday night that is kind of just in my mind, and it was under convention, what's the word I'm looking for, money that comes in, revenue
income,
or whatever,
uh-huh.
Income. I think that for registrations it said $15,000.
Yes.
And I know we've taken in over $20,000 for this convention, and since we know we'll be in Seattle next year, I would feel very comfortable with us changing that line item to $20,000, which shows $5,000 more in income, and I don't believe that I'm exaggerating. I think it's real numbers that we're working with. So I would ask if that would be something. Should I make a motion to change that?
Yeah, put it in the form of a motion.
Okay. I move that we change the income for registration for convention for next year for the state convention from $15,000 to $20,000.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I think it's fine.
She said it was fine. Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we go back to Alan's motion to adopt the budget as it was presented on Thursday night, including this updated change. And that was seconded. All right. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The budget is adopted. All right, let's, I just want to make a couple of reminders. Debbie has an announcement, and then we're going to end with door prizes. Just want to remind everybody, well, no, I take that back. Do we have any old business? Yes. Oh, okay. So we have any old business that needs to come before the convention? All right. New business. Cindy.
I'm not sure if I need to make this in the form of a motion, so let me know. But one of my concerns throughout our elections is how the numbers fluctuated so much. We have nothing in place that really guarantees who's voting and for what. So what I would like us to do in the future is to at least know how many ballots have been set out. So of the envelopes, how many ballots are out there? And I think that might be a start for us. So anyway, I don't know if we want to make that a motion, but I think that would be something we could easily implement. So anyway, that's just a concern of mine, and I think I'm not alone.
No, and I totally agree. And what I would say at this point is, no, I don't think you need to make it in the form of a motion, but what I would say is we will definitely look at it this year and come with a better option.
Okay.
Because I agree with you. It was just not good. Okay, Terry first, because he asked.
Okay. Is the mic on? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the problem is that people come and go. And so you have a certain amount of people who vote for this election and then who don't vote in the next election, or you have some people come in. You know, you're never going to have, you can pass out 120 ballots and maybe 117 people vote, then 114. The only way to ensure it would be to lock the door. And I don't think that's realistic here. I don't think we want to do that.
Well, we could close the door, though. That is definitely an option. That's
the only thing that you could do.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you leave, then you can't get back in.
You can't come back in until
but
after
that's probably
the,
not, you know, you could have an emergency.
Election.
But that's probably not really fair. I mean, you could have some kind of, you know, you're an older person. You might have a biological emergency. I mean, that's not, you know, I don't know.
Well,
anyway, that's just my thoughts. I don't really see how you can fix that problem. I think the number, we just have to, what I would worry more about is if the numbers fluctuated dramatically.
Yeah.
If you have 113, the first one, Denise said 102, but it's actually 113. But so if you're fluctuating, you know, we have 120 and then it's down to 86 and then it's 105, I'd worry more. But if we're fluctuating between 113 and 118, 120, I wouldn't, to me, that's within the realm of normalcy. That's just my opinion.
Okay, great. Thank you. Someone else asked for the floor?
Yes.
Who did?
Nathan.
Oh, David. All right.
Nathan.
Oh, Nathan. I'm sorry, Nathan.
Nathan.
Yes, Brandon. Nathan.
Julie's husband. That's how we.
Oh, okay. That's what you. Yeah. Then I know.
Then everybody knows who it is, right? So, I know this might be more work than what some people may want to do, but and I'd be happy to be on any kind of committee that wants to deal with this thing with the voting. So, put me down if you're going to have a committee. So,
all right.
But I'm suggesting that perhaps when we pass out ballots, pass out the papers, that to be done individually per vote so that Everybody has a ballot. Everybody has one to work with. Because I think that there might be some people in here, I don't know, but there might be some people that might be accidentally, not on purpose, accidentally poking holes through two pages. I mean, it could happen. Sometimes they stick together and people may not notice.
Yeah, so, and that, you're right, that does happen.
One ballot, one sheet at a time per vote. So.
We will take all of this under advisement, and I will be back with you letting you know what we've worked out. Thank you, Cindy. Any other new business? All right. Okay.
This is Haley Edick. I know that the children's book drive is new, and for those of you who are not at the board meeting, Washington Council of the Blind Families, as we are now called, thank you. We are taking children's books and basically reallocating them to families who are requesting or who we know need that level of books. So if you have any books, you can mail them free matter if they're large print or braille, print braille, to Denise Culley.
All right.
Just
thank
a reminder.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks, Haley. Actually, Cindy, you're probably going to say what I was going to say, so I'll let you make your announcements.
Well, I don't know if
and
I am or
Debbie
not.
Debbie has an announcement.
When you're ready to leave, there is a box out at registration, so you can drop your name tag in it. So please remember to do that. You need it for the banquet, though, so please make sure you have it for the banquet. And we are going to have the raffle, multi-raffle, begin at 5:30 instead of 6 o'clock up in the Queen Anne room. And again, you can purchase tickets $5 each. You can use a credit card at $25 or more. I think you should, you know, go in there and check all the prizes out and buy lots of tickets because there's wonderful items. And we still have about 300 tickets to sell. About 240 to sell. And then please be respectful. I know the scholarship committee may be saving a couple of tables near the front of the room for scholarship winners. In the Summit Ballroom, that's where banquet is.
Hold on.
Can I finish my announcements? And the scholarship reception is at 5:30. In Magnolia, or the first room of where we have hospitality. It starts at 5:30. There will be some refreshments in there. And should I announce the sponsor?
Yes, please.
Okay. We have a sponsor for the scholarship reception this year, and that is Department of Transportation. Has donated $250 to sponsor the scholarship reception. And finally, after the banquet, we hope that you'll come party with us in hospitality. With your badge on. If you are not wearing your badge, you don't get served. And we will have karaoke in there tonight. So that will be lots of fun. I think that's it. Safe travels home.
Go ahead.
Did somebody have a question? Shout it.
Yeah, shout.
I'll repeat it.
We'll repeat it.
Okay, there will be two door prizes drawn at the scholarship reception. There's also going to be some food and lemonade, so. Fruit skewers, and stuffed mushrooms.
Ooh, I love stuffed mushrooms.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Okay.
We're not done yet.
Thank you.
Who's asking for the floor? Yes, Nathan.
I'm coming.
Oh, God.
We're getting there.
Listen, I'm concerned that I want to make sure that people have ample chance to go to the reception for the scholarship winners. And if you're changing that time from 6 to 5:30, that takes some of that away from someone who may want to do both things.
Well, yeah, you can. Yes.
I thought the drawing was being done at 5:30.
No, the drawing's going to be done at the banquet. You mean the raffle drawing, Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's being done at the banquet.
Okay.
It's just people going in and previewing the items once more and buying more tickets.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Ticket sales close at 7.
And I
somebody else need to ask for the floor? Okay. What I was negligent in not thanking wholeheartedly the budget committee. They also put in hours of work developing this budget. As I told you Thursday night, it was not an easy job. Sometimes the budget committee has to do things that even they don't like. We continue to, as a board and as an organization, do our fiduciary responsibility in ensuring that we are trying to, you know, increase the health of the organization. So thank you, Budget Committee, for all your work. And Debbie has an announcement,
Then
we'll do door prizes.
All right. Just one quick announcement. Some of you were asking about the MMS forms. There are a few at the registration desk, but there won't necessarily be anyone there to assist you with filling them out. So Kim has a large pile of those with her, and she will be up with Lisa at Queen Anne room where we're doing the multi-raffle, and then she will later be in, of course, the banquet room, and she will be available all evening to provide assistance around the MMS forms until we run out of them. So please fill them out so we can do that as well.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you to our boat counters and people running around collecting ballots. We put them to work every year. All right, let's finish the afternoon with door prizes, and then we will adjourn.
All right, so we're going to do two. One of the there we go. I think that was a user error on my part. Anyway, we got another $500,000 worth of candy and $20 from Yakima Valley for Debbie Phillips. And then our last one, this is the big one. This is the one you wanted to stay for. So this is also going to be $500,000 worth of candy and $20 from Yakima Valley, plus $80 from the United Blind of Seattle, making it a grand total of $500,000 worth of candy plus $100 cold hard cash.
Call my name.
Nicole Gerlando?
Who?
Nope. All right.
Log in.
Anytime it could be Shannon Curry. Danielle Marjack.
There you go. All right. We will call the business portion of the 2018 convention adjourned, and we will see you all at the scholarship reception at 5:30.